afternoon, everyone. We're going to get started in just a few minutes here. My name is Molly Marin. I am the RTI webinar coordinator for New York State Technical Assistance Center. I have just a few reminders before we get started today. The first one, for those of you who are logged in, you'll notice that we have a copy of today's PowerPoint available on our webpage, and the link is there. It's also in the chat when I flip over to the next screen. Last webinar, two weeks ago, several people requested the PowerPoint slides before the webinar. So this is something we're trying out today. I'm not sure it's something that we're always going to be able to offer, but Dr. Stahl has graciously agreed to allow us to make those PowerPoint slides available. So if you are somebody who needs those for notes, they are on our webpage. You might want to go grab them. A recording of today's webinar will also be available on our webpage in that same spot. Couple other reminders. During today's webinar, please use the chat for any questions or comments that you may have. Dr. Stahl has indicated she will do her best to meld her responses to questions or comments into the presentation, and anything else will be addressed at the end of the webinar. So there will be time at the end for questions. Also, if you have any technical needs during the webinar, feel free to message the host or me directly if you are able to. That'll keep the chat box nice and clear for everyone else. If you need to use the main chat, by all means, go ahead. But if you can message me separately, I do appreciate that. Also, at the end of today's webinar, I will post a link to the evaluation. If you could take a few minutes to complete that, we very much appreciate your feedback. It's a very short evaluation, and we do look at those and use those as planning future webinars. Today, I think that's it for my reminders. Today's topic is complex text, meeting the needs of diverse learners in Tier 1. The next two webinars, we will be with Dr. Stahl, March 3rd, Differentiation in the Tier 1 Setting, and March 10th, Tiered Interventions and Common Core Learning Standards. Please check out our webpage to register for the upcoming webinars. We would love to have you back. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Dr. Catherine Doherty Stahl. We're thrilled to have her back with us. She is a clinical associate professor of education at New York University. She comes with over 25 years of classroom experience. Her research interests include reading acquisition and reading comprehension. She has authored and co-authored a number of books on reading assessment and reading instruction, and we are just thrilled to have her with us today. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Dr. Stahl. Welcome.
Thank you, Molly, and welcome back to all of you who have been with us for some of the previous webinars, and welcome to some of the new people who might be joining us for the first one. I will say, I just add a little something to what Molly mentioned about the questions that you might have during the presentation. Please feel free to ask any questions during the presentation. However, I will mention to you that on my screen, that chat is just a little sliver. And so in order to see it, I do have to slide the screen and slide the display. So if by some chance I don't happen to see your question and don't address it during the presentation or don't address it at the end of the presentation initially, please don't hesitate to retype your question in, because it may be that I just was not able to see it during the presentation. So go ahead and just repeat your question at the end if I did not address it during the presentation. As Molly said, today we're really going to be focusing on complex text. That's one of the areas of the Common Core that has really been an issue of concern. We're going to be talking about how do we meet the needs of diverse learners in Tier 1 related to complex text. Our focus today will be the topics that you saw selected on the blast that you received, and I actually did also highlight some of our topics of conversation in the last webinar, We're going to talk about the instructional context for a healthy text complexity diet. We're going to talk about how might we as teachers support the use of stretch texts that are being called for in the accomplishment of the Common Core. And then also the role of the integrated disciplinary theme in supporting children to read complex text. The audience that is the focus for today's presentation are teachers who are directly responsible for implementing and supporting the core instruction and the intervention within an RTI model. So those of you who are actually working with children or who are literacy coaches or principals, school principals will probably be likely to find the information in this presentation very useful. And particularly my background is in elementary, so most of what I will address will be focused on elementary schools because that is really my area of expertise. Certainly at the end, I can answer questions to the best of my ability related to the secondary schools, but most of our presentation will be addressing the elementary classroom. So now we're going to give you a chance to tell me a little bit about who you are. And Molly, do you want to put that other screen up so people can self-identify what their roles are? I feel like I'm talking into a dark hole here, so it's so wonderful for me to actually see that you really are all out there and who you are.
You leave your thing early.
So while you are all filling in your answers, I'll give you a couple more minutes. I'll leave the poll up for a few more minutes, and while the poll is up, I will actually go ahead and tell you a little bit more about myself. As Molly said, I did teach in elementary classrooms and middle school classrooms in urban settings for about 27 years. And now I am the literacy program director at NYU, and I teach in the literacy specialist program, and I also teach the methods courses for our master certification students. For the last few years, I've served on the RTI Technical Assistance Center as a member of their consortium, working to help schools implement RTI. And also for the last 2.5 years, I have been working in Albany as a member of the content advisory panel for the Common Core in the English Language Arts. What I'll be sharing with you today is certainly not representative of any of those organizations. It's what I know from the research that I have read and what I believe about good reading instruction based on that research. Okay, so Molly, I think we can go to the next slide. Thanks. I think it's important for us to really look again, as we did last week, at this model of what RTI, the structure of RTI. Generally, we believe that most children, 80% of the children in our grade level cohort, should be able to have their needs met in the Tier 1 setting. Probably 20% of the children in our classrooms will need supplementary help. The general ed classroom is not enough for them. And so another 15% might have their needs met in a Tier 2 setting. And then finally, 5% will really need something far more individualized. And so schools are allocated the resources to, you know, certainly have more Tier 1 teachers and to really put their resources in that Tier 1 setting. Very few resources are really allocated at the Tier 2 and 3 level. And so therefore, when we actually look at the test results, that we saw in April, some of what we can conclude is that certainly 70% of our children are not proficient. However, what we need to do is figure out how we can use the resources in Tier 1 to bolster the ways in which children demonstrate their reading proficiency, because we simply do not have resources in Tier 2 and Tier 3 to provide 69% of our children with small group instruction in a setting outside the classroom. And so some of the things that we need to do in order to meet those needs is to take a look at the instructional context in the general ed classroom. And so this is also one of the reasons why we really feel that because of this difference over here on this slide, we really want to make sure that we are focusing on some additional instructional techniques that we can use in classrooms to help fill this gap. And one of the first things we want to do is actually look at the instructional context in Tier 1 and make sure that we do have a healthy diet in Tier 1. And so in each, and it really does not matter which program you're using, regardless of what program you are using, we want to make sure that children are all being exposed to a teacher read aloud, regardless of the grade level. We want to make sure that children are being exposed to a developmentally appropriate shared reading and shared writing model. Both of these things, that WC stands for whole class, both of these contexts are whole class settings. And these are the areas that the primary purpose of these two contexts is to teach comprehension and to get at high levels of comprehension, to teach conceptual vocabulary and get children to use the discourse of the disciplinary, different disciplines. And it is also in shared reading at particular developmental stages, for example, in late first grade, all of second grade, and early third grade. Another function of the shared reading context is to develop fluent reading. The guided reading context is conducted, and that STLG stands for small teacher-led groups. So the guided reading is where we do have children reading instructional level text. The other two contexts, the teacher read aloud, is where the most complex text can be introduced. That context is where the hardest text, children should be exposed to the hardest text in that context because they don't have the burden of reading it. They don't have the burden of decoding. That's also where discussions that might be high-level discussions around compelling topics for the high school and secondary, any of the secondary students, we still want to be doing read-alouds in those areas because that's where we are talking about the compelling, controversial topics that they may be reading about, and we want to make sure that those kinds of sensitive discussions are being had, but that we are actually facilitating those conversations and teaching children how to have those kinds of conversations. In shared reading, that is where grade level text would be used. And if we now want to talk about how do we define grade level text, then the grade level text would be those lexiles that are being recommended in our Common Core standards for our grade level. The guided reading context is where children would read text at their traditionally identified instructional reading level. And because that is where we want them to be responsible for orchestrating the reading process. That's where the decoding is actually practiced and that they are reading text at their level. And then finally, I'm trying to slide over to see if I can see any questions here, and I'm having a hard time sliding this over. There we go. Okay. The independent reading is a place where children be reading text that has been pre-taught or text that is a little easier, and that's reading for fluency, for engagement, for pleasure, for motivation, for their own research projects, things that they have self-selected perhaps, but not necessarily always. Okay. Now, what might a schedule look like? Some people might say, gee, that's an awful lot to fit into a day. So what would a schedule look like? Well, typically the teacher read aloud might range from 15 to 30 minutes. And again, as I said, that's whole class. By whole class, that really needs to be a heterogeneous group. We want children at all ability levels to be there. We want to have children who may have difficulty, you know, just because a child has trouble decoding does not mean that they have trouble thinking. So it is very important for children who have reading difficulties, for our struggling readers, to be a part of that teacher read aloud and that shared reading and writing. The shared reading might be range from about 45 minutes to an hour. That also is a heterogeneous group, because this is going to be, these two pink areas are going to be our reading that is based around a disciplinary theme, whether that theme is a literary theme, whether it is a science-related theme, or whether it is a social studies-related theme. Both the read aloud and shared reading are the places where that discourse around those themes is taking place. And then we have our small group reading and our independent reading. Probably 60 minutes is needed for that, because you're going to be doing small groups. In kindergarten, you might be able to fit four groups into that 60 minutes. In first grade, probably three groups in that 50 minutes. And then in the upper grades, grades two and three, you might be able to fit, again, three groups. But probably in late grade three through grade five, you're probably going to need 30 minutes a group, so you will only be able to meet two groups a day in that guided reading group period. We don't want to forget about our word study instruction, regardless of the grade level. In the younger grades, that would be decoding and phonics. And in the older grades, that would look more like morphology, prefixes, suffixes, derivatives in a very systematic way. But we want it to be systematic and we want it to be explicit. So somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes a day needs to be dedicated to that. And that should probably be differentiated by ability level, because children, that is a constrained skill and people are at different levels. Whereas the comprehension-based components of the lesson, that teacher read aloud, that shared reading, we want children really to be of mixed ability levels in that group. And especially, we do not want our special ed children leaving during that shared reading time of the day. That is crucial. We want our special ed kids very involved in that. We want our struggling readers to be participants. Some of you may be saying, well, that sounds well and good, but I already have a program. Well, this structure can and should be used with any program. It can be used to teach the New York State modules. It can be adapted to any grade level in K-5, and it facilitates the type of themed unit study being encouraged in the Common Core. Okay, I think this is... Yeah, Molly, this is where we would like to have the other slides, where I can actually have a look at where people, what kind of programs people are engaging in their own schools for reading. Wow, we have a very interesting distribution. Very nice distribution, very interesting. And this is great. Okay, Molly, thanks. Oh, gosh.
Um,
I'm not seeing anything. Molly, what I,
Dr. Stahl, can you change your mute conference audio only?
Okay. I have muted that, and I am not seeing the arrow at the bottom for...
Okay, bear with me a second. I got to drag you back up. Okay, should be good.
Yes, now I see the arrow. Thank you. And I think it's very interesting that when we took our poll, we saw that there was a pretty equal distribution of the different types of programs. And I think that's great because programs don't teach kids, as we all know. Knowledgeable, reflective, intentional teachers do. You all are the most important element. As I think it was Jean Chaul would say, a good program is important, a great teacher is even more important, but the best is the combination of the two, having a good program with a good teacher. I know that many people have had questions and have adopted the modules and have incorporated some of those modules that are now on the Engage New York website. And as Commissioner King says, that these are optional modules. I don't think that we should view these as required. And they are certainly not any guarantee that by using the modules, that our children are going to do any better on the test. So these materials are optional. I think that we should adopt them individually. And these are all quotes from Commissioner King. Adopt the individual lessons or adopt modules. Use them. I think the most important thing is to use these modules as tools, as one more tool. And it's nice because there are multiple things. So, you know, they're free, they're easily accessible, and so I think that we should take advantage of them with that perspective. But knowing that you really are the key element in your children making progress and in their reading achievement, not the program and not the module. And if we look at this slide, this actually shows you what each type of reading program provides in terms of our reading contexts. And again, the things that are in red are theme related. And so if we go across the top, we have read aloud and highly supported student writing or shared writing. The SR stands for shared reading, and the IW is interactive writing, where the teacher is holding the teacher and the children share the pen in interactive writing, but it's done whole class. The guided reading and guided writing would be small group reading and then a written response to that text or some kind of small group reading and writing instruction. And then independent reading and writing, which might be something that looks like a writing workshop or a reading workshop where children are sitting at their desk reading their text independently. And then, of course, word study. And if we come down the left side, these are the different programs that are very popular. And so I have put a check if that program provides directives as well as possibly materials for reading, you will see a check. If you see a W, it means that that program also provides materials and directives for providing writing instruction. And as you can clearly see from this chart, no program provides everything, and that all of us, if we want our children to have a truly balanced literacy diet, then we need to make sure that we are providing and figuring out what materials and what we need to do to fill in the gaps that are there for our program. So, for example, I think that Core Knowledge does a beautiful job of providing some disciplinary-based themes for children, and it provides wonderful common read-alouds for the kids to listen to and that are around a themed unit, and it provides some good prompts for writing. However, there is not really a link in our Core Knowledge program for shared reading. Children, especially in late first grade and second grade, are going to need a bridge. They need to see those complex texts. They need to have support reading those complex texts themselves. So we certainly want to have a read aloud for kids, but there needs to be a place during the day where they are reading grade level text with their own eyes, with their own copy of text, and then responding in writing to that piece of text. And that's one of the holes in the Core Knowledge program. Same thing, if we look up here, say, at at our Teachers College Readers and Writers Workshop, there's that also. The shared reading is a piece that is missing. Often children in Teachers College, the writing workshop model and the reading workshop model, those children would be doing a good bit of reading. They would have their mini lesson. They would be doing a good bit of reading and writing on their own at their instructional level, but they receive very little exposure to texts that are at their grade level, that are those stretch texts, or that are around a disciplinary theme. And so that would be a gap that we would need to be deliberate in filling in our school. This is important because children with reading problems tend to read less and less text and less challenging text than proficient readers. And so if all we are doing is having children read text at their traditionally identified reading level, then that gap is becoming wider and wider and wider over time. And we want to find ways as teachers to bridge that gap instead of playing a part in making that gap stronger. Oh, good. Okay. Looked at your questions. We're having a few technical problems in this presentation. I don't see my arrows again, Molly.
Can you try again?
Oh, there we go. Okay. Thanks. So also these Common Core, the Common Core six shifts really are the non-negotiables of the Common Core. These are the non-negotiables. And I think that if we take a look at them, it's not just this text complexity. We do want children, all children, to have an exposure to complex text. But these don't operate alone. And so if we're going to have children reading complex text, then using materials that are within the disciplines is going to support that knowledge. So if we are building the knowledge, so for example, let's say we're doing a plant unit and we are having hands-on experience in plants and children are reading about plants and writing about plants and the academic vocabulary is related to plants, then all of this works together to support children being able to read more difficult text, because now they've got the prior knowledge, now they've got the vocabulary, and so all of these things really intersect to support support and bolster or to bootstrap the actual reading process of more complex text, because it's working together in synchronicity. One of the key things we need to do, and the Common Core and this idea of complex text supports this, is we need to turn up the volume. Complex text provides the opportunity for comprehension strategy instruction, high-level discussion, vocabulary development, and even the research projects, which children might be doing research projects. That is where they are reading and writing and talking about things that they are interested in related to the disciplinary topic that the entire class is studying. The research projects are the place where they become the experts that the rest of us go to. Grade level texts expose struggling readers to more words and richer vocabulary than the little books that might just be at their level, particularly if we're talking about the primary grades of kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and even third grade. Those children really rely on opportunities to read complex text for the comprehension instruction. And no, we certainly do not want children to be frustrated. And through our formative assessments that we've used in class, we do have a sense of our student's zone of proximal development. And again, as I said, we're going to be bolstering it through other kinds of instruction within these disciplinary units. And so I think it is extremely important for us to keep in mind that the instructional level is malleable and that it's dependent on the amount of instruction provided. So most instructional levels are determined by the accuracy rate, by the level of accuracy that a child has read on a particular text level. However, that accuracy of, say, 95% accuracy or above means that there would be a kind of instruction provided where a teacher might provide an introduction to the text, then the child might read it silently, and then we would have a discussion afterwards. But if we are providing more instruction and embedding the reading within a disciplinary unit, then that is bolstering the ability of that child to read a more difficult text. So, what do we need to know about complexity bands? Well, first of all, as I just said, the instructional levels are based on the amount of instruction provided. And I know I was quite surprised to read this study by O'Connor and her research team that determined that struggling readers in grades 3 through 5 performed equally well on general reading post-tests, regardless of whether their intervention materials had been the student's grade level materials, or whether it was at that, whether the materials they used in the intervention were at their diagnosed instructional level. And so I found that very interesting. But it is also supported by some other research. That research doesn't stand alone. That complex text has a positive effect on fluency, including prosody. That was determined by the Schwanenflugel team. And also comprehension. There has been research to determine that children really, or not just children, all readers learn the most when text has a little bit of challenge to it. Because if it's too easy, then we tend to tune out. Whereas the maximum amount of learning comes from text that is at the top of our zone of proximal development. And certainly we want to monitor our students to find out how difficult texts are taught, and we want to strive to make those texts that we're presenting during shared reading accessible, but we do not want to read to spoon feed all those texts to our students. We don't want everything to be a read aloud. We don't. And we want to remember that the function is the comprehension instruction and the vocabulary instruction. If you're not being mindful of If you're not being mindful of these complexity bands that are recommended and providing different kinds of instruction that support children reading stretch text, you're going to have a couple manifestations in your progress across the year and even on your ELA test results. First of all, when they sit down to read the ELA test, they're going to feel frustrated and feel like they can't read the text, and they're going to give up immediately. And then the second manifestation is that those children who are good readers tend not to make the accelerated growth because they haven't been challenged throughout the year to really think at the highest levels possible. So those children, you're not getting the movement of the threes moving to fours, or you have very few children in that four level of proficiency. So we do want to make sure that we are being mindful of the stretch text and making sure children are exposed. My big worry with these stretch texts, however, I will tell you, my worry is that we are going to see a return to the days of round robin reading, with teachers feeling that children can't do it, with teachers taking a lot of the responsibility, or turning the responsibility over to one or two of the best readers to simply read those hard texts aloud for the rest of the kids. Remember, the definition of round robin reading is not going around the room or around the reading group, child one, child two, in order. The definition, and this is from Tim Rosinski, his definition of round robin reading is any unrehearsed sight reading where there's some kind of turn taking of unrehearsed text. Folks, that means no popcorn reading. By popcorn reading, I mean we just pick on this child spontaneously, pick on that child out of the clear blue for cold text. No popsicle stick reading. That means you put all the names in a hat, you draw a name out, and that child reads. That's a lot of times there was a technique that teachers would put the popsicle sticks and feel like that was done randomly and more fairly. No popsicle stick reading. That's round robin reading. No catch the ball reading. I was in the classroom and they had a little beach ball, and so the teacher would throw the beach ball and the children would throw the beach ball to each other, and whoever caught the beach ball would read. No catch the ball reading. And no guerrilla reading. Guerrilla reading is based on the premise of guerrilla warfare. That means we don't ask children to pick on each other and try to catch somebody not paying attention. I think we've all been in classrooms where there was that, I'm going to call on you call on the next person, and what happens is the children try to call on each other and catch each other off guard. So we don't want to have these kinds of readings happening in our classrooms with these complex texts. That means in our content areas also. So the next question is, the logical question is, well, what do we do with these hard texts? Well, I think this is an area where we want to differentiate, but in a holistic way, all right? There are some holistic ways for making difficult text accessible so that we're all going to read an anchor text. But I'm going to make it accessible to different children by me adjusting instruction. So for some children, I might do echo reading, all right, with them. So echo reading is I read a passage and then they repeat the passage after me. This works well for texts in first grade, late first grade, and second grade. Texts about 400 words. All right, that you're going to be revisiting across the week. Paired reading. Paired reading is less supportive than echo reading. Paired reading is where, and I'm talking now about the Keith Topping version of paired reading. This is a technique where a more knowledgeable person reads with a less knowledgeable reader, and often this is done with tutors, America Reads volunteers, parents. It's very effective with parents working. And so with paired reading, you read chorally, then the child or the other reader, the less knowledgeable reader, taps on the table, taps on the book, and then they read solo by themselves. If they make an error, the partner jumps in, corrects the error, continues reading, and you stop intermittently to have to take stock and ask some comprehension questions. Paired reading is very supportive, and it works very well for the older reader who's reading longer texts that you don't want to do echo reading with because it would be too cumbersome. So paired reading is a very great strategy for building fluency and comprehension and for making difficult texts accessible, particularly in special ed or tier 3 intervention settings. Partner reading is great in a classroom setting. It's less supportive than either of those previous two strategies. It's where kids take turns reading page by page or some other kind of partner, page by page, paragraph by paragraph, whichever you have decided. Choral reading is also, it's very supportive. Choral reading is more supportive than partner reading, and that is where everyone reads together simultaneously. Repeated reading in older grades, having kids repeated reading for a purpose, like for speeches, famous speeches, poetry, and other kinds of assisted reading. And one of the most effective forms of assisted reading and approaches to make difficult text accessible is the procedure, the teaching protocol called fluency-oriented reading instruction. It's a particular reading protocol, all right? Now, this, I do want to share this. Somebody had asked a question about complex text and defining complex text. All right, this chart, these two charts will show you the text level estimates for each of these components of reading and in terms of what would be a complex text. So for example, the S&P GR expectation means Founison-Pinel grade guided reading expectation. So those are the levels that Founison-Pinel would consider expectations for that grade level. So you see that in the first column for those grades. So that means if children are reading those levels as their instructional level, then what you want to be doing as a read aloud is reading something more difficult. So these columns in that read aloud column is what the estimate is for text levels for a read aloud. We have to begin being particularly mindful of these levels when we start getting into second grade, because that's where we start getting into issues of comprehension, more high-level comprehension of unfamiliar content. And so we also are being directed by the Common Core to try to get children to be reading lexiles between 400 and 725 at that level. So in second grade, you should be doing read-alouds at lexiles of 400 to 600 and doing shared reading lexiles 200 to 500. We really want to begin. The Founison-Pinel levels are very useful guides, and they're very helpful guides for getting a very fine gradient of reading in kindergarten, first grade. But by mid-second grade, when we start really looking at those high levels of comprehension in unfamiliar text, the lexile tends to be a more accurate and finely tuned guide to comprehension and the comprehensibility of text. So we want to be mindful of that in beginning in second grade. If we look, now we're in the test grades. Grade 3 on the ELA in April, they have stated that there will be, the expectation is for children to be able to independently handle Lexiles up to 820. Now, if your child is, if you're sticking to, say, a Readers and Writing Workshop or a Founis and Pinnell kind of reading program, then you would feel comfortable if your child was reading at a level P at the end of third grade, but that's only the equivalent of 700 in the Lexiles. So we really want to find a way in our read aloud and during shared supported reading to make sure that we are exposing children to those more difficult text levels. That's why with the Common Core, the read aloud conversation and the shared reading and the writing in response to text and the classroom discussions and small group discussions around these difficult texts is imperative in if we want our children to be able to successfully achieve the standards for their grade level and to be able to show that achievement on the ELA tests. If we look at fourth grade, on fourth grade and fifth grade, the Common Core is recommending a Lexile of 1,010. And so these are some estimates. These numbers are estimates for where you may want to target in the read aloud and shared reading some of these stretch texts. These are some texts that kids can stretch into with additional instruction. Because in the guided reading, they're pretty much left on their own. All right, that's what they can do totally by themselves with minimal instruction. But if we want to get those, if we want them to stretch, we need to provide some supportive instruction. So what does instruction look like in K-2? So as I said, you know, you might do a research-based read aloud technique like the McCallan and the Beck and McCallan text talk read aloud. You would want to do 4E, that fluency-oriented reading instruction protocol, as your shared reading. Certainly in kindergarten and early first grade, you're still going to use your shared reading big books, but that doesn't really fit the bill once you get beyond mid-first grade. So fluency-oriented reading instruction is a research-based, it's a research-based, very robust research-based, reading protocol. And so this reading protocol is for use during shared reading of instructional level and challenging text, and you're revisiting the text each day of the week. And so that's why you want it to be a challenging text, because you're going to be able to stretch your kids into that text through the various activities. So you would be doing pre-reading activities on day one, your vocabulary, setting purposes for reading, and have a teacher read aloud of the text. You would read it to them and do some macro comprehension activities. Then on day two, you would be likely to do echo reading, and the children would take the text home to read it at home. On day three, you would do choral reading and partner reading. Day four, you would do partner reading of the text and some home reading. All right, take the text home again for children who need it. And day five would be an extension. This is a flexible schedule, though. It would depend on who the kids are that you have in your class. It would depend on how difficult the text is and, you know, whether it's the first week of the unit or whether it's the third week of the unit. Because you can really, Schwann and Flugel and their team found that this, you could actually adjust this based on the text and based on your kids and adjust this routine somewhat to meet those needs. So, for example, if it was the end of the unit, let's say you've been reading about plants now for 3 weeks and your kids are working on their research projects. Well, you might have an anchor text that you're doing on day one and day two, and having that as your community experience, your community text that you're sharing. But then days three, four, and five, those kids are now ready to read, and I mean, read on their own and be working on their research project or writing an extended response to the text, okay? Or you might do something like echo read on day two and then have partner reading on day three, or I would even say do your extension on day four and five. Maybe just do one day of partner reading. It really depends on the difficulty of the text and your children, the readers in your classroom. But one of the key things is you see that the children are the ones who are doing this reading. It's not the teacher reading the text every day. The children are actually being held accountable for the reading of that text throughout the week. And they are also interacting with it in their written responses. If we think about writing in response to text, this is also the time of the day where the writing is happening in response to that text. What about in the upper grades? What do we do? Well, the teacher read aloud would look more having think alouds and things like questioning the author with book club discussions around or with small group conversations about the text. The shared reading, again, you have a common text. The thing that is important also about all of these shared text lessons from mid-first grade on through the grades, the kids have to have their eyes on text. They have to have their own copy, and there has to be a high volume of words, and there has to be rich vocabulary. That's what constitutes rich text. So the kind of structure that you might want to use in grades 3 through 5 is you would still want to use that fluency-oriented reading instruction still works well, or Schwann and Flugel and Kuhn and their team also, they did research over 8 years on this. When in their research that they did, children on average made 1.8 months of gain in a single year. Several years they did research in different settings, and that tended to be the common outcome. Wide Fourie is where you do your traditional day one instruction, setting a purpose. The teacher reads the book to the kids. The next day you do echo reading. Day three, you do some kind of extension. You're writing in response to text, for example. Then on day four, you read a brand new book. You echo read it. Day five, brand new book again. All of those three books would be on the same topic. But children are reading rich text. So that also could work in grades. I've heard teachers say, oh, we call that close reading, and we do it in grades 4 and 5. We call it close reading, and that seems to be the terminology that they're using with the Common Core. The other activity that I really like is the three-ring circus. In the three-ring circus, what you're going to do is you have this complex text, all right? And you know that you have 3 or 4 kids in your class that after you've introduced this text, you know they are capable of reading this independently. So you have that group of kids read it independently. These are kids functioning maybe above grade level or on grade level. They read it independently and perhaps do a written response. Then you have your kids that are functioning at about grade level, that middle group of kids. You have them do partner reading of the text that the class is reading as a community share. Then you have your children who are the struggling readers. They read that book with you, and you might do echo reading, or you might do the directed reading thinking activity where you're stopping intermittently with that little group and asking them questions to confirm their comprehension. And so in that way, the class is having a community text that they are sharing about the disciplinary topic. It's a community text. It's a stretch text. However, instruction is being differentiated to make that text accessible to them. So now we can, as a whole class, use this text as a springboard for our high-level comprehension activities. Story impressions is great for narratives if you're working with your one of your literary units. Story impressions is an instructional technique in which, as a teacher, you would look through the text in advance and select maybe 8 to 15 phrases that come from the text, including some that have some of the challenging academic high-level Tier 2 vocabulary within those phrases. You list those phrases, say, on your smart board or on a piece of paper in sequence, and then you give that to the children as a pre-reading activity. I have used this with first graders. I have used it with college students. I have used it in professional development sessions with classroom teachers. So now the children have this list of phrases in sequence that have come from the story that they are going to read tomorrow. So what they do today in a small group of, say, 3 or 4 children, heterogeneously mixed, they look at that list of phrases and they create their own narrative based on that list of phrases, anticipating what they think the story will be that they're going to read tomorrow. And they actually then write a story. They write it and collaboratively share it with a class, and that is followed by reading the actual story. And then they would have a discussion, what was similar about the story they created, and you would continue with your typical activities. But that's a wonderful way to get kids ready to read and provide support in a way that's fun, that's engaging, involves children at all levels, and really gets them embedded into that story and the vocabulary of the story and the narrative structure of that story. Another technique is the jigsaw. We all use that in lots of college classrooms. That works well for informational text. The jigsaw is for informational text. You might just take different sections of text and get children in small groups to be responsible for a section of text and then to report back with, with a mixed up group, so that then after they have all read, let's say, section A, section B, section C of the text, this group has read section A, this group has read section B, this group has read section C, they've discussed it so that they are experts on that section, and now we're going to put them into a mixed group of A, B, C. I think I'm seeing somebody ask a question. Again, I'm afraid to scoot over here because that's what made me disconnect when I scooted my screen over. I see a question about lengths of text. Well, these texts are sophisticated for the most part. They're the kind of sophisticated picture books that the ELA is mandating for, as I said, the elementary grades. So the texts are going to range anywhere from 450 words to, say, 650, I would think. Books like the Chris Van Allsburg books, as I said, sophisticated picture books, Patricia Polacco kinds of books. However, jigsaw and story impressions, those could be used with chapters. Out of a book for the middle school. I've used these with college students as well as with adults. So the length really wouldn't matter for those particular techniques. Radio reading is a Tim Rosinski technique that Oh, a recommendation, text lengths for 4E. Okay, thank you. Text lengths for 4E is definitely around 450 words. You would not really want to do it. You do not want to do it with a poem. You do not want to do it. You want some substantial text, you know, that are those Lexiles that are recommended for the third grade, second grade. But I would never do it. When I taught, I actually used that when I was teaching second grade, and my texts were always 450 to 550 words. There are the Patricia Polacco stories, Crab Cakes and Aunt Flossie's Hats and Crab Cakes Later. Those kinds of very rich books that are very meaty books that have compelling content. Now, I think you'll need to, for Lexiles, for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, all of our guides, both the Common Core, Appendix A and B, and also your New York Engage text, your test guide that is for your grade level, the test guide for your grade level tells you all these Lexile levels that are requested, as does the Lexile website. The Lexile website is a wonderful resource for you to use. Any book that you are using in your classroom, when you go to that Lexile website, you can find out exactly what Lexile's thousands of books are. And you can actually identify Lexiles where your children are and find, you know, literally thousands of books at that Lexile. Okay, radio reading technique. Radio reading technique is a technique for older children. You, again, would section a piece of text. Let's say you're reading a piece of text, an informational text about some historical topic. You might divide that text into sections. You give, say, a group of 4 children the sections of text. They read the text. They read silently their section of text and generate a couple questions for their section of text. And then they would read it. Then they come together as a group, read their section of text aloud to their little group of 4 kids, and then ask their group a question based on that text that they read. Wonderful strategy. We don't need to do that round robin reading or that individual reading when using a technique like that. It's okay for the kids to rehearse it silently. They've had a chance to read it, and the comprehension is connected. They are doing a close reading because they have to generate their own comprehension question. And then one of the most long-standing techniques, reciprocal teaching, a very robust research base, was developed actually for middle school struggling readers. And so, but again, this has been used effectively all the way from first grade all the way through high school. It works well with challenging text. The children take turns being in a small group of, say, 4 to 6 kids. They read silently. They read silently, and then they take turns being the teacher. And in that role, they would have to summarize the text, ask for clarifications of the text, make a prediction about what's going to happen next, and then ask the group a big question. So the 4 strategies that each person would conduct would be clarification, summarization, ask a question about the text, that section of text, and then make a prediction about what you think is going to be happening in the next piece of text. These are all wonderful, wonderful strategies that will make very complex text accessible to students without spoon feeding it to them and without you needing to read it to them. And as we said, we really want to make sure that children of all levels are participating in this. These are ways to really embed differentiation. And the use, you know, I can't stress enough that the use of themed units, regardless of what program you're using, it's important to really try to find ways to incorporate themed units, because those, especially, it supports the reading of complex text. English language learners rely on it. It's a way of doing sheltered instruction. And so it really helps children build the cognitive networks, as well as building the interest and excitement about a topic. And then when children are doing independent reading, they already have a body of knowledge, they already have the academic vocabulary, and so then they can go off and read independently about a topic, about an inquiry question that they have to share with the rest of the class and to become the expert in that area. And so that is how, you know, one more way that we are feeding into children's interests, and we are feeding into motivation as well as independent reading. Book clubs also are an important way for children to be reading complex text in a supportive environment, because when they have to report back to their book club, then they will have the opportunity to share and have that comprehension checked. So these are all some ways that you can actually have your shared reading, involve children in shared reading of complex text. So the takeaways are, big important takeaway is heterogeneous grouping. The content is providing your conceptual and vocabulary scaffold, so it's important to have it in these integrated units. The volume of words fosters automaticity and cognitive consolidation of word recognition. It's actually fostering decoding processes. These kinds of experiences are the vehicle for your comprehension and vocabulary instruction, and they serve both as conceptual and stylistic anchors for your kids, as well as the writing springboard. It doesn't have to be contrived when you're teaching in these kinds of ways. If you would like more information on how to do this, you might also enjoy reading these very teacher-friendly articles from the Reading Teacher that are from our research and from the Research into Practice columns that go into more detail about this. And so I'm going to slide over so I can see some of your questions. Okay. Okay, so now I can see all of your questions. So please let me know that you are out there by repeating any questions that you did not have a chance to ask, or that perhaps I didn't see. So please feel free to let me know that you're out there and type in your questions now on your chat. I love seeing your names out there. I see some familiar names, so I hope you'll join us also next time when we talk about the guided reading differentiation. Next time we'll be talking more about that guided reading block and what should that look like in terms of differentiation. And how is the differentiation? We'll be talking at our next webinar. I'm still looking for your questions, but in our next webinar, we'll really be talking about how to use the guided reading. Do you recommend Reader's Theater for fluency as well? I do not. I found that when I was teaching, it was not intense enough And to me, it just wasn't, as a classroom teacher, it was not my best use of classroom time. I found that by getting children to do repeated reading, I was able to intensify the experience, and they ended up reading more words per child than I could get them to read in a reader's theater. That the reader's theater, to me personally, it was just very labor intensive, very time intensive, with little payout. Oh, good. I'm so glad you enjoyed having those PowerPoints ahead of time. So we will probably, for the next two presentations, also be posting them at around 3 p.m. on the day of the presentation. So at that point, you'll be able to get our most up-to-date presentation and be able to print it in plenty of time for the presentation at 4. The ZPD is Zone of Proximal Development, and that is a concept by Vygotsky that children can do more with assistance than they can do by themselves. And so the Zone of Proximal Development is that range in which children can do something with you and with your assistance that they could not be able to perform by themselves. Yes, and these strategies, and so here's the question, are all of the strategies that you discussed used in Tier 1 by the general ed teacher? Absolutely. The Tier 1 teacher should be using and could use any of those strategies, and the special ed teacher can support by helping the children do the writing in response to the text. So now, if you're in the classroom, I'm sorry, let me back up. If you're teaching in a collaborative model, you should be breaking the children up into those small groups, and each adult would be able to more intensely support each group of children. You're not just walking around and supervising that way. You're actually sitting in with the individual groups. However, if you are outside the classroom as a special ed teacher, then what you would be doing is looking at the particular comprehension hurdles of these complex texts. So, for example, let's say we're talking about the plant unit. Well, a comprehension hurdle of the plant unit is for children to be able to identify the main idea and the supporting details. And so what you would be doing is working to help children identify the key ideas and the supporting details, and then writing in response to that. Because the writing in particular, the kind of high-level writing in response to text, the high-level disciplinary writing, is difficult for all children. And so any support that you can provide to that addresses those Common Core standards and that is integrated with the theme, but is targeting like a bullseye the actual comprehension strategy and the type of writing in a small group setting, is a tremendous support that our special ed children will need. I so appreciate seeing that you all are out there. Thank you so much. And I look forward to you coming back in. Molly, I'm not sure whether the next presentation is next week or 2 weeks. So I look forward to you on our next presentation.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stahl. And thank you, everyone. Hope to see everybody back next week.